you guys bow your heads. Let's pray. Dear Father, I glorify you and I honor you and I thank you. Lord, I pray that today you would bring us into what is true. And only you can do that because you are true. So Lord, we look to you and we count on you and we depend on you to give to us what we desperately need. And Lord, I pray that as we hear this message, we wouldn't just be informed, but rather we would be transformed by your word. We wouldn't just know a lot about something, but what we hear about begins to work from within. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. Today, Lord, they don't need to hear a charismatic speaker. They don't need to be entertained. They need the living God. They need the Spirit of God working from within. Therefore, we count on you today. So bless us and help us and encourage us, I pray. It's in Jesus' perfect name. Amen, amen, and amen. Again, we're continuing in this series. If you're just joining us, we've been reading and we've been studying Psalm 16. And we talked about the premise of this series is for each and every one of us to know that the aim of the Christian life is God himself. That's the aim of the Christian life, right? If you want to know what Christianity is all about, it's all about God, right? And it's about God himself and growing and knowing him and walking with him and being faithful to him. And that's our heart that's what we want to accomplish, through this message series as we read and study through Psalm 16. So today we're just going to focus on just verses 7 through 8. Again, we've been walking through verse by verse, but we're going to be just studying verses 7 through 8. But before I tackle those verses, as some of you know, my favorite basketball player happens to be Kobe Bryant, right? Yeah, I love me some Kobe. God rest his soul, man, love me some Kobe. 8 and 24, whatever, you pick one, I love him. I was a big Kobe Bryant friend, very famous NBA player. I love Kobe, but some of you don't know, Kobe's favorite player happened to be the greatest player of all time, what happens to be Michael Jordan. That's what I'm talking about. We're raising this church up right. Hallelujah. God is good. Three things you got to believe here. Jesus is the Son of God, the Bible is true, and Michael Jordan is the GOAT, okay? The three pillars of faith. Keep moving, Logan. But, you know, his favorite player was Michael Jordan. And he just didn't, he wasn't just his favorite player. He studied Michael, right? He adored Michael. He admired Michael so much. He revolved much of his career around Michael because Michael was great. His greatness attracted, and he wanted to become like him because of his greatness, right? And he admired it. And come to find out, we all are very similar, right? Because you move towards whatever you most admire. Does that make sense? You often will move towards whatever you most admire, or pretty much I'm trying to say this, whatever you give the most attention to, you eventually become. Whatever you give the most attention to, you will eventually become, right? And for some of us, that can look different. It could be success, right? Some of you just want to be as successful as possible, right? Right? And that means you're going to be driven, right? Right? For some of you, it's approval, recognition, being known, feeling important, right? And that's just a desire that we all have. And sooner or later, you become insecure. Right? Right? Pick and choose. We are whatever has our attention, we become. Right? Whatever has our attention, we eventually become. Because, as it's famously said, you become whatever you behold. You become whatever you behold. Right? Right? And the goal of our series, the goal of the Christian walk, is that you and I, again, wouldn't just know something about God, but that we would behold him. That you and I would delight in him. Because as we behold him, as we delight in him, not just somebody that we study, Not just somebody that we just learn about, but it becomes our deepest, deepest affection. Our deepest, deepest affection, right? And as we behold him and as we delight in him, guess what, friends? We are then transformed by him. Because knowing God, the truth is, knowing God transforms who you are becoming. It transforms who you are becoming, right? It transforms what you do. It transforms all of your being. And that's the aim of our series, and that's the aim of what we want to accomplish in today's text as we look more and more in verses 7 through 8. So let's go ahead and bring it up again for them. Verse 7, it says this. It says, this is David. For those who may be unfamiliar, the David, the psalmist, the writer himself, David writes this. He says, I will bless the Lord who counsels me. That's very interesting language. He says, I will bless the Lord who counsels me even at night when my conscience instructs me. Now, keep that up there for them. Notice in the very first part, he says, I bless, or I will bless the Lord. It's very easy to skip over this and just jump to what pops out to us. And the reason why I want to stop here is that David really, really loves God. David loves God. So much he says, I will bless the Lord. This word bless, it's not just acknowledging God, it's adoring God. My boys, some of you saw one of the little Rugrats running around earlier. My boys, they every time we go to the store, you guys already know what they always ask for. What do they always ask for? A toy. Yeah, y'all have been listening to me too long. And every time. I mean, just today, we stopped at the gas station. What do you think he asked? At Sunoco. He thinks there are squirt guns. I'm like, brother, you don't need a squirt gun on Sunday morning as we're going to church. You need church that bad. You want a toy, right? He always want a toy. And, you know, every time they want a toy, and when I say no, they always say, please, you're the best daddy, though. Yeah, right? You know, Jen, you ever been there before? Yeah, we love you. I love you, though. You're the best. You know, they get all nice and everything. And you know me, because I'm a sucker, and he's got little chipmunk cheeks. And I'm like, yeah, sure, here you go. You know, yeah, I bring out my Apple Cash, and I'm like, yeah, beep, you know. That's just how it is, right? And he loves the gifts. Sometimes I don't know if he really loves the giver of the gifts. He's all right. He loves the gifts, and he knows I'll give it to him. And he comes to me, and his mother and his brother does the same thing, and they want the gift. But sometimes I question if they really love the giver of the gift. And sometimes I think I can carry that same attitude in my relationship with God. See, friends, I believe that this is the reality that I want us to all connect to. See, David shows us that following God, it's not, David adores God not for what he gives, but because of who God is. And the question I want to ask, who is God to you? Who is God to you, friends? Is God somebody that's just a helper? Yeah, awesome. The Bible tells you that. That's great. But is that all that he is? Is God just this guy that man, you know, when you need some wisdom and you need just a small encouragement, you know, that's the time that you look to him? Or does God have your deepest affection? Does God have your deepest affection? Right? Because knowing God is delighting in him. It's delighting in him. And friends, can I be honest with you? And this is, I'm speaking, listen, I get paid to be a pastor, to be a Christian. Sometimes I love things more than I love God. If I can just be honest, maybe that's not you. Maybe you're the perfect one. I'm going to need binoculars from where I'm sitting when I get to heaven compared to you. But for me, I sometimes my love for things can override God. right? But I believe, friends, you and I are deeply changed when God is our greatest affection. Let me say that one more time. I believe you and I, we are deeply changed when God is the center of our affection. Because of this, you become whatever holds your deepest affection. This is so true. You and I, we become whatever holds our deepest affection. See, David, he doesn't just like God. He doesn't just believe in God. He loves him. He loves God with everything. He says, as a matter of fact, the scriptures, they call us and encourage us to love God with our everything, with our very, very being, because you become whatever holds your deepest affection. Or in another way we can say this, whatever has your heart shapes your life. Whatever has your heart shapes your life, right? Somebody once said that if you don't like your life, you have to ask yourself, where has your heart been? Where's your heart been then? If you don't like the results of your life, where has your heart been tied to the most? And David says, I will bless the Lord. And he goes on, he teaches us that knowing God is delighting in him, right? Now, why is this important? Because those who delight in God, right, are directed by God, right? Those who delight in God, they find direction by God. Look at what he says in verse 7. He says, I will bless the Lord. I love God. I adore him. I give him everything, right? Right? Listen, when I put God in the right place, everything seems to be put in the right place afterwards. When I love God, I can love my wife the way I need to. When I love God, I can love my family. I can serve the people. I can honor the and steward the things that are in my life well. When I put God at the center of my deepest affection, I'm greatly changed. But he says, those who delight in God are directed by God. He says, I will bless the Lord who counsels me. Go to verse 7. He says, I will bless the Lord who counsels me. I find this very interesting, this word counsel, right? Because a lot of people, when you think about God, a lot of us don't think as God as our counselor, right? Now, a lot of us can be honest, we need some counseling, though, right? Right? Because this word counsel, it's a very interesting term, right? As a matter of fact, the scriptures, they communicate this very reality of Jesus being called a wonderful counselor, right? Now, when you think about counselor, you think about somebody that gives direction, guidance, advice, right? Counselors, and for many of us, we've gone through counseling. Some of us, we are currently going through counseling. The goal of the counselor is to help you cope, to help you process, to move forward, to give advice and reflection, all of that, right? That's the aim, right? It's for someone to give you what you are lacking, what you desperately need. And there's some overlap when it comes to human counsel, which is useful, which is beneficial, which is lovely, which I strongly encourage, which I think for a lot of us, we need to take serious. We need to go down that path of inviting people in our lives to give counsel. But here's where things begin to contrast. Human counsel, though it is useful, God's counsel is perfect. And there's a difference. Not to say that human counsel can't be helpful, not to say that it's not beneficial, that there is some beauty in that. But friends, can I tell you that God is a God who counsels. And when he counsels, he doesn't just help you to cope. He doesn't just help you to process. He doesn't just help you just to think better. What he does is he directs your life. God wants to direct your life, right? And see, God doesn't just give suggestions. God counters you in what is true. Because we live in a world, that's full of opinions, but yet starving for truth, right? We live in a world that's full of information, but yet has little wisdom, right? That's the world that we live in. But see, God wants to not just tell you what to do. He wants to lead you into what is true. Because a life that is rooted in truth is a life that's anchored in God. And a life that is anchored in God. Why do we need God's counsel? Because left by ourselves, we will always be reactors. Thank you, Jen. I'll preach to you. I can always count on you. From the Lyria days to now. Right? Left by ourselves, we'll always be impulsive reactors. Anybody impulsive in this room today? Thank you. I got other Christians. I'll preach to you three too. All right? The rest of you, you know, you don't need counsel. You're perfect. Right? Left by ourselves, we'll always be reactors. Anybody give in to the moment too much? Yeah. Anybody feel the weight and the pressure of the moment and they give into it? And anybody driven by their emotions a little too much? Emotion is great, but it's not a great driver. It's more of a passenger than a driver than anything else. But see, God wants to give you counsel. God wants to lead you and anchor you in what is true. Because the aim of God's counsel is to anchor you in what is true. Right? So God, knowing God, is knowing him as your counselor. I love that. Knowing God as your counselor. He's personal, friends. He's a personal God. He's not just this distant deity that you have to work your way to. No, he's the one who wants you to have his full attention so that he can give you better direction in your life. That's the God that we have, friends. A few ways that I want you guys to know that how God counsels us. Very, very simple ways, and some of you are very familiar with this. And one of the ways is, number one, God, he counsels or he directs us through his word. God directs you through his word. Listen, daily engaging in the scriptures is vital for us. And you know what I've noticed? When I don't read the Bible, it's like when I go hours without food, I get hangry. Anybody get hangry when they go hours without food? Anybody just a different person, right, without food, right? Like, man, you just, what's wrong with you? Shut up, nothing. Right? I'm fine. It doesn't sound like you're fine. Why are your eyes red? Like, what's going on, right? You know, and then you finally eat, and you're like, I love you. You're a nice person, right? And I find that same reality when God's word, when I'm not feeding off God's word. Because Jesus says this, every man must not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from God. Man must not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from God, right? We're different when God's word, listen, we don't just read it, it begins to fill us. It begins to accomplish something that is lacking in us. Why do we need it? Because when I get angry, even though anger is not always a bad thing, it's just sometimes I can take it too far. God counsels me. That's my son, by the way. God counsels me. I'm getting angry. God counsels us in a way that allows our anger to be managed with control. Because where anger gets bad is when it's led when we are out of control, when we go too far. When I'm tempted, which I'm tempted every day, which we're all tempted. We're all tempted in many different ways. Everybody's got different temptations in this way. God's word, it directs me to be fully satisfied in him. To be fully satisfied in him. Scripture tells us that God's word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It is able to pierce through the depths of our souls and our being. And it is able to work out and direct us into what is true. God leads us through his word. Number two, God leads us, or God shapes us by his spirit. We need the Holy Spirit, not a force, but the person himself. Right, the third person in the Trinity. He abides within us, and he is with us. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Gospels, interesting. If you look at the Gospels and you read in John 14, when Jesus introduces the Holy Spirit and he brings them on scene, even if the Holy Spirit is eternal and he's always been there. Let me make sure I get my theology right. But when Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit, he calls him the Advocate, aka the Counselor. He says the Counselor. He calls him a Counselor. And he is known as the Spirit of Truth. And he will lead you into all that is true. And you want to know why we need the Spirit? You want to know why the Spirit works within our lives? Because the Spirit brings you and I great correction and conviction. But there's one thing that I know that I need, but that I hate, is correction. Anybody hate being corrected? Anybody hate being called out? Yeah, right? Anybody hate it? When the Spirit, it's not a condemning. You know what the Holy Spirit begins to say, you could have been a lot nicer to your wife. You were a little bit too hard on your kids. That's not my conscience. That is the Spirit telling me, hey, you can do better. Not to condemn us, but to move us to reflect Christ more and more. That's why God works through us through the Spirit, right? And point number three, God guides our way of thinking. If you look at the text, it says, the psalmist says in verse 7, he says, I will bless the Lord who gives counsel. Then he goes on, he says, even at night, this is interesting, even at night when my conscience instructs me. Now, why does he bring up the night? What does the night got to do with this, bruh? Right? You talk about God's counsel, and now you're talking about night. Well, interesting, in ancient culture, and really just in our culture today, the night represented a moment of quietness. Think about that, right? The day, it's loud, it's busy. It's a lot of traffic, right? People are heading to work, right? Don't ever take 480, by the way. If you need to get to work, just take the back ways, y'all, okay? Right? People are heading to work. It's busy, right? People are at the gas stations. People are doing all this stuff. It's busy. At night, things tone down. Things are quiet, right? Things are steady. What this represents a time where distractions are limited. And friends, I've noticed this, maybe not for you, but more for me. See, the night, it represented a time of reflection, contemplation, and meditations. Distractions are minimal. And when I can fully focus on God, right? And sometimes I have a hard time being led by God. And I have a hard time hearing from God. Not because God is silent, but because my life is so noisy. My life is so loud. Am I right? Maybe you can compare to that. Maybe you know what that's like, right? You love God. It's just sometimes God gets last place. And life just gets busy. And for me, I can be very busy. And I think that, man, busyness me is effective. But at the end of the day, I've learned that busyness makes me less effective. It doesn't accomplish much in my life, right? And the psalmist says, the more time I give to God, the more my mind begins to change. It's Mental Health Awareness Month. I don't know if some of you know. And for some of us, this language or hearing this word, verbiage of the mind is so needed, because for a long time, our minds just stink. Am I right? they're just trashy. Days are, you're good. Some days you're like, what's going on? Right? Days you feel good. And here's the thing. God doesn't just want you to have a mind that just thinks positive, but a mind that is led in truth. A mind that is led in truth. The more time we spend with God, the one thing that I've noticed, that my desires change, my reactions change, my instincts change, my mind begins to change. Again, God doesn't just tell us what to do. He wants to transform how we think. The goal is to think rightly, and to think rightly is to be anchored in what is true. And where do we find truth, friends? We find it in the Lord God Almighty. Because whatever fills your mind, it shapes your life. Whatever fills your mind, it begins to shape your life. If you're unhappy with your life, check the heart, check the mind. And the reason why God's counsel is needed in our lives is so that you and I can think rightly, can think effectively. We can learn to discern the things in our lives in such a way, and it can bring healing and blessing more and more. God is not a life coach. God is life himself. He's not just someone who wants to give you advice. He's someone who wants to build your mind and being anchored in what is true. And we need this more and more. Why? So that you and I would not be shaped by our environment, our circumstances, our feelings, but rather to be shaped by God himself and walk in wisdom. David says, God, I love you. And God, you counsel me. You give me counsel. And I make sure there are things in my life, I push things away so that you can get my ultimate focus, so I can give you the attention that you deserve. Because the more I give you, the more you work in me. The more I'm giving to you, the more God is at work in me. Right? That's what David says. And then David lands with this banger. Look at verse 8. We're going to close with this. David says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Notice this verbiage. Everybody eyes on me. Notice he goes, God is before me. And God is beside me. He's at my right hand, right? There's this play on language that's going on here. What David is doing, David is confident. He says, I will not be shaken. Why? Because God is an ever-present help. That's the reason why he does not shake him, because God is an ever-present help. And his presence is before me, and his presence is beside me. Right? He's not just leading. He's strengthening all at the same time. He's directing my and ordering my steps, but he's also building my heart and mind at the same time. He's helping me to move forward, but he's also helping me from falling flat. He's helping me to keep striving, to keep going, to take the steps, but he's also telling me at the end of the day, I am the Lord your God, and I will be with you wherever you go. And look how David responds, because earlier in the psalm, if you actually look in verse 1, David says, God, protect me. But now David moves, and the tone shifts, and he says, I will not be shaken. Why? Because God is before me, and God is beside me. Notice the shift changes. Why? Because his focus changes. Because his focus changes. And he goes to the Lord. And he looks up to the hills to where his help comes from, the maker of heaven and earth himself. And he finds the greatest source of strength, not just to move forward, but to stand strong. We don't need just God's guidance. We need God's strength deep well within our hearts. And the more you walk with God, the steadier your life becomes. Because I want that kind of faith. I want the kind of faith that says this: I'm going to be hit, but I will not be shaken. We want that kind of life. The kind of life that says, yeah, this isn't easy, but because of God, I will not be defeated. Yeah, this stinks. I don't like this. And you want to know what I love about David? This is why I like. I like, obviously, talk about Jesus the most. But I got to say, next to Jesus and Paul, David is like, got to be top tier. You want to know why? Because David has walked with God for a long time. And the longer you walk with God, the more confident you become. The more you find confidence. Because you've been through it before. Because somebody's been in it with you before. You've been in it before. When you face that scare, that illness, you're like, I don't like this. But God has been with me. And he'll keep being with me, and he'll be right beside me as well. When you hear an unexpected report or some news you don't like, you say to yourself, I can mourn this, but also at the same time, I have hope in this. Because God is before me, and God is beside me. That's confidence, friends. Confidence is never, and we've heard this before, and we need to continuously hear this. Confidence is not when things change. No, it's when my heart and mind is focused on God. Confidence is not when the illness goes. Some of you are probably well aware that I have been diagnosed with this horrible, horrible disease. And I hate it. I can barely see. I can barely read. I can barely drive. I can barely watch my kid. I can barely do any of that. I see double. My eye droops. It stinks. I don't like it. I wish it would change. I pray every day, God, get rid of this. I don't want this. Make me, change me back to normal. I want this. And I pray that every day, and I face that. But you know what? I'm reminded of the scriptures. When God says, my grace is sufficient, my power is made perfect in your weakness. Because that's the beauty of the gospel. See, the gospel, friends, listen to me. One thing that I'm reminded every day, the gospel, it is just not victory over sin and death. It is also the guarantee that nothing in your life will ultimately defeat you and undo you. Jesus says, in this life, you will face trials and tribulations. You will have illnesses. You will go through it. But what? Take heart. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Because Jesus is our anchor when life is not going the way we want it to go. And here's what we need to realize. The more you know God, the more your life becomes unshakable. The more you walk with God. Because I've been through a lot of stuff. You name it. This is minor. Not in comparison to the one that is greater. Because he is before me. And is beside me. I won't be shaken. I may barely can see, but I can see him clearer. I can see him better. My eyes are fixed on him. That's the kind of faith God wants to give you. That faith that says, even if this doesn't get better, the Lord is near. That's all I need. Because the more you walk with him, the more your life becomes unshakable. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I call and I ask you that, Lord, you would look upon us with favor and grace, and that, Lord, you would give us a type of faith that says, I will not be shaken. For the Lord God is before me and beside me. He is not just involved, but he's also one who is working and strengthening my soul and mind so that I may not be defeated. God, I want that kind of faith. I want the faith that says, at the end of the day, whatever is thrown at me, it won't cause me to look elsewhere other than on you. We want that kind of faith today. Because, Lord, you are our counselor. But also, you are our confidence as well. You are our confidence. So help us today. Be our confidence. Be our counselor. And help us to have a faith that says, I will not be shaken. Bless us, I pray. In your son's perfect name, amen.